Welcome to Soundprint. I'm Lisa Simeone. From 1976 to 1983, the people of Argentina suffered under a brutal military dictatorship. The period is known as the Dirty War, when tens of thousands of people simply disappeared. Every day, ordinary citizens were kidnapped from the streets. They were held in secret detention centers, tortured, and murdered. For women, there was even more injustice. If they were pregnant at the time of detention or became pregnant afterward, their children were taken away and given to other families. I remember a searing account of this in a 1985 movie called The Official Story. Once you see it, you never forget it. Argentina, of course, is not the only country that has been witness to such atrocities. Millions of people around the world have likewise suffered. In 1915, hundreds of thousands of Armenians living in the Ottoman Empire were deported and killed. It's an occurrence that's still causing friction between Turkey and Armenia today. But it's also believed that Turkish families secretly saved thousands of orphaned Armenian children. Some children who had been adopted were then forcibly taken away from their Turkish families by foreign troops and sent to orphanages in Europe. Until now, the very existence of the children has been hushed up. But their descendants are finally speaking out. From producer Dorian Jones, today's program is called Remains of the Sword, Armenian Orphans.
Berke Bash is going back in time. She has traveled from her home in Istanbul, 900 kilometers to Ordu, the city of her birth, and to the house where her grandmother, Nahide, lived as a child, where she was hidden away while killings went on around her.
I just remember this house. Yeah, it's really doors and everything, like it's really kept the same. Some other families living here now. My grandmother gave the house to her helper.
Yeah, and the ceilings don't seem to have changed. Still these old wooden beams, yes. Very low ceilings. Naide's house is a beautiful old wooden building with small rooms overlooking the sea. Once, all the city was filled with such homes, before the arrival of concrete apartment blocks. The kitchen, Berke says, has changed little from her childhood, with wooden panelled ceilings and walls covered in shelves filled with jams made from fruit taken from the garden. For Berke, much of her childhood was spent here, with Naide, and it is here where she got her first hint of Naide's Armenian past.
Naide was kept here, under the sink, for a couple of days, when there were all these like raids and massacres of the Armenian people, and the Turkish people, Turkish neighbors were secretly like keeping the children, or the neighboring Armenian families gave the children to these neighbors, Turkish neighbors. So there's this myth that she was kept under the sink. This is the first thing, like first knowledge that I have about her. And this is how I learned her story, because it is the first one that inflicted me with curiosity. Then the story, like in years, came by slowly and slowly with all these different narratives within the family.
Throughout Turkey between 1915 and 1916, Armenian families were rounded up for deportation, accused by the then Ottoman rulers of Turkey of siding with neighboring Russia, who the Turks were fighting during World War I. But how Nahide, then a six-year-old child, came to this house is explained by family member Mehmet.
Ben abla derim. Nahide abla, şaharbımımide.
I used to call her sister, Sister Nahide. During the Armenian deportations, she was saved by my father. He was the chief clerk of the Ordu municipality. All the names of those who would be deported would go through him. My father took Nahide because her uncle Dikran was running a hazelnut factory in the building owned by my aunt's husband. They were close friends. My father took her and gave her to your family to be looked after. I grew up around her. She always looked after me. I knew her as a sister.
We are here with Berke's parents at a small, unimposing bridge over the Kumyumju River, the entrance to the old Armenian quarter of the city. And as Berke's mother, Sevinch, explains, it's a place Grandma Nahide never forgot.
Whenever we would walk over this bridge, Nahide would say, "Turks shot my brother here when he was 20 years old." She would say it each time we passed by here that he was shot on the Kumyumju Bridge. We would all feel very sad. She would say it each time, in each passing. Nahide was like many children that were hidden by local families during the mass deportation of Armenians.
While at the bridge, Berke's mother happens to meet another Armenian orphan who was saved by her relatives. Despite the threat of punishment by the then Ottoman authorities, Berke's family saved 7 children altogether. Like Nahide and thousands of other children, they were left by their Armenian parents, who were being rounded up during the mass deportations. Most never came back. Berke's search for more about her grandmother's past brings her here to the old Armenian quarter of the city. 90 years ago, it was the most luxurious part of Ordu, with grand stone buildings and panoramic views of the sea. A testament to the prosperity of the Armenian community, who had become wealthy through trade, banking and manufacturing. Today, most of the buildings are derelict and overgrown with weeds. Berke walks along the narrow cobbled streets with her uncle Hussein, who was brought up by Grandma Nahide, even though she wasn't his real mother.
I knew her as my mother. She took me on her back to study at neighbors who taught me to read and write. When I was older, she sold her gold bracelets to pay for me to study at university. I was the first of 4 of us children that finished university, all because of Kanush.
Keonush was Nahide's Armenian birth name, but it was changed when she was a child to conceal her ethnic identity. For Berke, it's a revelation.
I learned about the real name of the Nahide grandma. Nahide grandma's real name was Kehanush.
And why did it take him so long to tell you?
Because nobody asks, nobody questions, like, what was her real name? We know her to be an Armenian originally, but nobody is curious about it, I think. And I never asked. The person whom we knew as Nahide was named Kehanush by her birth parents as an Armenian child.
It brings out my ignorance in the matter before, that we were never curious about Nahide grandma's real name. So this is really exposing our sin, in a way, not to acknowledge her.
Berke's uncle also reveals that Nahide seemed emotionally scarred by the traumatic experience of losing her family.
Her love for me was an obsession. She suffocated me. She was always lonely, always fainting and having nervous breakdowns. It was so sad. But as a small boy, I couldn't express that sadness. She was jealous of me. She would hide me away and would even hide jars of jam and honey among her clothing just for me. I was an obsession for her. It was so sad.
Walking in the old Armenian quarter, which is now known as just the old city, Berke ponders the loss of a whole society.
This neighborhood was all inhabited by the Armenians, like all the carpenters, all the silver workers. These artisans were all from this neighborhood, and they were mainly Armenians. Really, it is such a recent thing that people are openly talking about it. Interesting. Many people in Ordu wouldn't even know.
We've now come to Berke's family mountain home. For many living on the Black Sea, the mountains offer a beautiful refuge from the stifling heat of summer. But even here, in this stunning alpine retreat, the past is present. This time in the language.
The myth around it is that the Armenians living here were pushed from that cliff to the river down, and they were killed because there is no way that you can be saved, you can survive falling from that cliff. It's very, very high. It's strange because, like, when you know it with the name Armenian Cliff, you don't make much sense of it because you don't know the history. You have no sense of history. You are not told about it because we were all educated by the official history, etc. So when you look at it, you don't make sense of it as an Armenian cliff that there many people were killed. You don't make that because we were all taught in a way that they never existed anyway. Like when you look around the city, etc., there is nothing mentioning that there was an Armenian presence here. So it's a small detail that, oh, Armenians lived here and they were killed. You don't understand the bigness, the scale of the tragedy because you live by it. Every year we come here, sometimes 3-4 times a summer I come here. We always have a nice walk to this rocky place. We sit here, drink tea. We don't make sense of it. So it's sad. You don't look at it as a monument of a tragedy. I don't know, because Nahide grandma, Keanush, would always come here. She would spend her summers here. I don't know how she felt, because we even have pictures here with her, with all the family, like we are having a picnic, laughing, all the photos. And Armenian cliff is in the background. I wonder how she felt.
My uncle didn't give me a hint so far. He always talks about how she treated him, how she loved him, how she was obsessed with him. It was maybe the missing brother more than a missing child for her. Her obsession with Hüseyin. But I'm really curious what she's been through. Hey,
bir dakika fotoğrafları çıkardık da.
Back at Berke's home, her parents show old mementos and photographs of Nahide.
Who is this?
That's my mother. So beautiful. Can you...
Kim çektiniz acaba?
Yeah.
There's been a ring at the door. Visitors arrive and Berke's mood changes.
The relatives entered and they have a similar story. This is the part of the story. Their father was such a convert. So we have to not talk about it now because they don't accept. I know you cannot talk about this with them.
More guests are arriving, and we hurriedly remove the photos and stop any of this Armenian talk. One of these visitors has an Armenian orphan as a family ancestor. But he refuses to acknowledge this, and the subject remains a strict taboo for him and his family. Berke and her father and I retreat into another room to quickly finish off the conversation.
Müslüman ailelerin yanında saklanan çocuklar daha sonra büyüdü ve onları...
These children were brought up in Muslim families. This is the biggest issue. Christians becoming Muslims. They don't see themselves as outsiders, but they remain silent about their past, afraid. But our Nahide grandma, Kenush, was unusual. She openly expressed herself. She always declared she was an Armenian. But now, as a Turk, a Muslim, you say that your ancestors were Armenian, then you are called a gavur. You are without belief, without a soul, and you are an outcast. Most Armenians in Ordu have disappeared into their new families, and they don't make their identity public.
To find out more about Nahide, Berke decides to return back to Istanbul, where the overwhelming majority of the country's surviving Armenian community live. After farewells to her family, Berke relaxes and prepares for the arduous journey. Many people on the bus are reading newspapers, and among the headlines include the diplomatic row between Turkey and France and Canada. Both countries accuse Turkey of genocide against its Armenian population, something Ankara continues to strongly deny, saying the deaths occurred in a civil war. Even though the events happened 90 years ago, the wounds of the past still remain fresh and raw. And for Berke, she is facing family concerns over her attempts to uncover the truth of Nahide.
I had a short conversation with my father just before we left home to get onto the bus for coming to Istanbul. He said that yeah, this is a very controversial subject and there are people who will definitely misjudge locally. He said there will be many local people who are fed with this nationalist discourse. And he said that maybe you are scratching a wound. You are digging something. And maybe this is not welcome in many members of this society, especially Ordu being a very small city. He was a bit... he used to be very encouraging, but this time I felt he wasn't that strongly. Like he was definitely like happy that I'm doing this documentary, but not very brave, like giving me encouragement.
How do you feel about that?
This is a very important subject. She's a very precious woman. And I also have this desire for people to know about her and her story. And through her, the stories of many others.
Back in Istanbul, Berke has come here to Bosphorus University, where she once studied. She's here to meet with Professor Selim Deringil. Professor Deringil is a world authority on late Ottoman history. In October 2005, he helped to organize, in the face of death threats and warnings of prosecution, a groundbreaking conference which, for the first time in Turkey, openly discussed the events that led to the destruction of most of the country's Armenian community. But as he explains, while the massacres and deportations were occurring, people did step forward to save children, like Berke's Armenian grandmother, Nahide.
I think this is quite a human thing. I mean, if you've grown up cheek by jowl with people who are Armenians, you celebrate each other's holidays, you know, your neighbors, and then one day someone comes along and says to your neighbors that you're going. Nobody knows where you're going, but you know that you're probably not coming back. So people did indeed take in these children to the point where we know that there were secret orders actually ordering people not to take Armenian children on pain of punishment.
Like my grandmother's story is that she was hidden under the sink. In Ordu there are many, many stories. Like both my mother's side and my father's side, they took many Armenian children.
We have to be very clear that there are various kinds of adoption. I mean, some are indeed bona fide humanitarian, charitable intentions for saving these children. Some, it's a question of concubinage, right? Some, it's a question of basically just using them as evlatlik, domestic slave labor, basically. It differs from case to case. And this is what one has to make allowances for. There were orphans who were brought to big cities like Istanbul and Ankara and Izmir or whatever, and actually set up, you know, in a sort of penned area, rope around them, and people came and just took children.
In Istanbul, there is still a small Armenian community. Around 80,000 still live in the city. Cultural events like this one, which is raising funds for Armenian schools, are a testament to the fortitude of the community. Here, Berke is introduced to Hrant Bakr. He was born in Ordu. His father, like Nahide, was an Armenian orphan saved by Turks. Bakr knows an Armenian family that knew Berke's grandmother, Nahide. He agrees to introduce them. The next day, Berke meets with Hrant at the Armenian cemetery, which is the center of one of the city's old Armenian quarters. Not far from here is where the 80-year-old couple Gungur and Mari live. Berke receives a warm welcome. The couple knew Nahide and her Armenian brother, Suren, who fled to Istanbul from Ordu to escape the killings. While Mari recounts her memories of the family, Berke makes a discovery.
His wife's name was Etil, but I forgot his daughter's name. Yes, her name was Alita. We went to her baptism. She had her baptism when I was pregnant. So she must have been born in 1952. But when the girl was growing up, we weren't seeing that much of them. But we were always invited to their daughter's birthday, as our children were of a similar age. We are from a working family, but even though they had only a small fabric store, they had managed to enter Istanbul's high society. They had a house on one of the islands outside Istanbul, where the wealthy spend much of their time. They were a bit vain, you know, their class and ours were different. We could not adapt to each other, I'm telling the truth, but I know their daughter Alita got married to an Englishman, and after her father died, they both left for England.
The discovery that there could be a living Armenian relative of her grandmother Nahide is a revelation. She is now determined to find her. Berke has come to Argos, a weekly Armenian newspaper based in Istanbul. Printing both in Turkish and Armenian, the paper seeks to be a bridge between the Armenian community living here and wider Turkish society. The editor is Hrant Dink, one of the community's most well-known figures, both here and abroad. Berke's request for help is just one of many, as his forgotten children's history is now being slowly and painfully uncovered.
Bana bugün... Benim emailime, bana gelen mektuplar, telefonlar,
the mails I receive, emails, phone inquiries from people trying to find lost relatives saved by Turkish families. People even come and knock on my door. They are contacting me every day. There are so many people from here and from abroad. They learn that they have a past. They are looking for information, wanting history and references, looking for relatives. This is an incredible search. Many people did not die. They disappeared into our society. I believe millions, not thousands, are in this situation. There are stunning examples. So many stories reaching me. I'm like one of the first windows for these people to reach other Armenians. I hear incredible stories. They could all be an epic or a film. I think there are millions of novels here that need to be written.
Buna ilişkin bilgiler arıyorlar.
Hrant Bey, ben arayacağım ama sizi yine daha sonra. Çok teşekkür ediyorum bugün zaman geçirdiğiniz için.
So what will you do to find
them? I don't know. There are some international Armenian magazines, newspapers. So maybe I can contact them. I'm really curious to meet this woman, Alita Bülbül, because we have some sort of connection, who is Nahide. And I'm curious, like, what kind of life track she had and what does she feel about Ordu? What does she feel about Turks? Do you understand? Like, she had some kind of connection and I want that connection to come out, to be revived in the family.
A few months later, Berke is back at the Argos newspaper, but this time to attend the funeral of her aunt Dink, to the music of Dink's favourite song, Saragelin, which tells of the love between an Armenian and a Turk. The hearse carrying his body passes the spot where a Turkish nationalist youth allegedly gunned him down, because he considered him a traitor. But for Berke and tens of thousands of mourners, he was and remains an inspiration for those trying to reconcile the country with its past.
He was talking about something which is so precious and important in one's life, one's history, one's past, one's identity. And he was silenced because this society could not stand having such a rich mixture of identities and cultures in this country. I feel sad that it is creating this situation that we are really afraid to talk about. But I believe, like, my story, like as I had discussed it with Hrant Dink, has this quality of being a step for reconciliation, because it's about the orphaned children. I found many examples of how these children were cared and loved by their new families. So I believe that by telling a simple family story, maybe I can reach a point that these stories can be used for reconciliation with the past and between Turks and Armenians.
Remains of the Sword, Armenian Orphans, was produced by Dorian Jones. For more information or to listen to our shows again, you can visit us online at soundprint.org. Next time on Soundprint, the artwork and the fireworks that come about when two famous, passionate, and very creative artists work together. Van Gogh and Gauguin, next week on Soundprint. Soundprint episodes are available on CD for a small fee. Just give us a call at 1-888-38-TAPES, or you can order online at soundprint.org. Soundprint is produced by the Soundprint Media Center in association with WAMU and American University. If you have questions or comments for us, or if you'd like us to tell you about upcoming shows, you can email us. The address is talkback@soundprint.org. Soundprint is production assistant Adina Raub and audio engineer Jared Weisbrot. Our executive producer is Moira Rankin. I'm Lisa Simeone.